Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Paul Nolte at Murphy and Sylvest. Good morning, Paul. So this is going to be a short week, right? The markets end trading early tomorrow, close Thursday for the 4th of July. And then Friday, it's the jobs report. So you guys will be working for a couple hours and reacting to that, right?
Yeah, and then we'll be back at the beach and working on that summer tan. Absolutely. And that, I mean, really, you're going to see a very quiet week, I think. We've got a fair amount of economic data this week. We have Powell talking this morning. We had Fed Governor Goolsbee chatting yesterday. Again, Fed speak all over the tape. But we'll also get the ISM data. We'll get the jobs data on Friday. We get a couple other jobs reports today and tomorrow. So there's enough to be looking at, but I don't think there's going to be much in the way of trading. It's going to be fairly muted since everybody will be elsewhere.
So is your feeling that if the job market is strong, the economy will be strong or continue to expand?
Yeah, I think so. And that, I think, is really the key for the Fed. You know, if everybody's playing the parlor game of when does the Fed cut rates? And I think the inflation data is at least heading in the correct direction. But I think as long as the jobs data remains, you know, we're in the 4% range, we're up a little bit from where we were in the lows. We're still seeing job creation at 150,000 per month. As long as it stays in that range, it's going to be, I think, hard for the Fed to justify cutting rates. If we start to see the unemployment rate get up 4.5%, we start seeing job losses as opposed to gains, I think the Fed is going to be pressured and feel the urge to cut rates. So until that time, I don't think you're going to see rates come down. But the job market, is the way we look at it, using the weekly jobless claims data, mm-hmm. is still very strong.
So if the economy shows decent growth, but inflation numbers stay high, is that the number, the inflation numbers, what the Fed is really looking at most of all?
I really don't think so. They've made the comment, and a variety of them have made the comment that, you know, they're pretty comfortable with the trajectory, if you will, of inflation, and that it's coming down toward that 2% level. So I think their feeling is that inflation is doing what it's supposed to. But however, I think the economic data is the one that really the Fed is looking at. So I think it's going to be jobs.
Let me ask you also about what's going on with the stock market. The largest five stocks zooming up, but you've got about 495 that are not. What's going on there?
Yeah, they're stuck in neutral. They're, you know, using the NASCAR analogy for this next weekend in Chicago, they're barely off the starting line. I think what's happening here is a lot of people are looking at the markets and saying, really need to get into NVIDIA, Microsoft, Apple. And I think a lot of those companies have gotten extraordinarily expensive. We're just now starting to see some of those stocks do poorly. And we're starting to see the other stocks at least hold their own. So on a relative basis, they're getting closer to, very, very slowly, but closer to those tech stocks. So I think the second half of the year, you're going to see a lot more analysis of NVIDIA, Microsoft. What does this all mean for AI? We've seen McDonald's kind of step back from AI. Maybe that spending comes down a little bit. And then I think it'll have a negative impact on those tech names. So the averages, which have done very well this year because of those companies, the averages are likely to do poorly in the second half of the year. But the average stock might actually do better than those averages.
What about the housing market? How is that affecting everything? Because if Fed cuts rates, the mortgage rates would fall, and wouldn't that be a good thing for the housing market?
It's very possible. There's been a lot of chatter around, and certainly, you know, you talk to a lot of people and say, yeah, I got this 2-3% interest rate. You planning on moving? No, gosh, no, because then I'd have to pay 7% for a mortgage. So I think a lot of people are looking at that and saying, you know, if we can get mortgage rates down to, say, 5%, then I think you may free up the housing market. You get some people moving that may not have moved before. They're still struggling. The housing market is still strong. Prices are up. Part of the reason that prices are up is there's not a lot of housing coming on the market, whether it's new housing or existing homes that people are moving from. And so there's a group of economists that do think that by cutting rates, you could get a better housing market. There's also a knock-on impact on the rest of the economy. That means that inflation may remain higher for longer because interest rates are down. Because housing activity, you know, you move into a house, you got to paint it, you furnish, you know, buy this, buy that for the house. So there is a fair amount of economic activity that goes on with purchasing housing.
Commodity prices have come down a bit, so that's good news, isn't it?
It is, if you like coffee and cocoa. Yes, those prices have come down a fair amount. So maybe there's hope for the winter months for cocoa prices. But we got cocoa up around 10,000 per ton. It's now down almost half of that. So we've seen a lot of pricing come down. That's showing up in the general level of commodity prices. Energy has picked up a little bit, but the general level of commodity prices has come down. And again, that goes into that inflation outlook and the inflation picture that just maybe those numbers continue to work their way to 2%. So it is good news for the overall price picture, if you will.
Since the big winners for the quarter were the biggest stocks, is that good news for anyone with a diversified portfolio?
Those of us that have a diversified portfolio have gotten a lot of questions about that. And that has been, the S&P 500 has been the big winner really over the last 10 years. So anything that you bought outside of the S&P 500 has performed poorly compared to the S&P 500. And it's been driven by those bigger stocks. So we constantly preach, have a diversified portfolio, have a little bit of small cap, have some international, have bonds in the portfolio, because you just never know when that may change. So, yeah, we're still of the belief that going forward, diversification is going to be a good thing, and it may finally be more so with some of the AI stocks coming back to earth over the next year or two.
Senior Wealth Advisor and Market Strategist for Murphy and Sylvest. Our thanks, as always, to the diversified Paul Nolte. Have a good holiday, Paul.
I will. You do as well. Thank you.
You're very welcome.